Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
51551 for any of your texts. The HSE has been urged to train hospital staff on how to deal with patients at risk of absconding or those who try to self-discharge following the case of a pensioner who went missing and subsequently drowned after leaving Mayo University Hospital last year. The recommendation was made at an inquest into the death of 69-year-old Patrick Rowland, whose case sparked a major search operation after he left the hospital in Castlebar wearing only pyjamas on what was described as a bitterly cold night last January. Our reporter John Cook was in court and he joins me now from Swinford in County Mayo. You might tell us a little bit more about the background of this case, John.
Yes, Cormac. 69-year-old Patrick Rowland from Lahardon Ballina in Mayo was being treated for pneumonia and sepsis at Mayo University Hospital Castlebar in January of 2023 when he left Ward B of the hospital in the early hours of January 17th, wearing his pyjamas and slippers, exiting through a basement into sub-zero winter temperatures outside, around minus 2 to minus 4, this inquest heard. Mr. Rowland had spent almost 42 hours or 2 days on a hospital trolley in the emergency department in Castlebar before being moved to a ward not long before he left the hospital, leading to an intensive search for him in the local area. 4 days of evidence at Mayo Coroner's Court in June of this year heard that Patrick Rowland called his son to come and collect him when he had left the hospital after 1 o'clock in the morning, saying he was near a hotel in the town. Cormac Rowland rushed to Castlebar. There was no sign of his father, though, and a major search operation began involving Gardaí, the fire brigade, hospital security staff and family members. And 2 days later, the body of Patrick Rowland was recovered from the Castlebar River, 2 miles downstream from where he was believed to have fallen in. The inquest also heard evidence that 69-year-old Mr. Rowland, who had a history of type 2 diabetes and heart problems, was agitated and wandering around the hospital and had made an earlier attempt that night to leave the hospital, telling a porter he wanted to go, and later, after his son Cormac had calmed him down, said, "I just want to get out of here." His family said Mr. Rowland was confused greatly during this hospital stay, but claims of confusion or delirium were denied by hospital representatives. After hearing from 31 witnesses in June, Coroner Patrick O'Connor invited the legal teams for the Rowland family and the HSE to make written recommendations to him regarding a verdict and recommendations that he would make in this case, which he deliberated on before today's hearing, Cormac.
And I believe the coroner did make recommendations, John, regarding Mayo University Hospital, the HSE and the local authority. Am I right?
Well, we'll go to his verdict first of all, Cormac. And delivering his verdict in the last hour or two, Mayo Coroner Patrick O'Connor said medical evidence had shown that Patrick Rowland died from asphyxia due to drowning in what he concluded was an accidental death, adding that on the balance of probabilities, Mr. Rowland fell into the Castlebar River by accident. Some relatives voiced disquiet at this verdict in court as it was delivered, and the coroner stated that it was abundantly clear that Patrick Rowland did not want to stay in Mayo University Hospital. A hospital is not a prison, he said. A patient cannot be forced to stay. And while Mr. Rowland had significant medical conditions, he was not being detained under the Mental Health Act, and there are limited powers available to staff to detain a patient. All they could do is try and persuade him to remain based on his medical condition, but to physically or medically restrain a patient would be unlawful, the coroner said. Mm-hmm. Much in all, as it's difficult for the Rowland family and staff at Mayo University Hospital who dealt with him to accept, it was Patrick Rowland's own choice to leave the hospital despite his medical best interests, Cormac.
And those recommendations in that the coroner made, John, I'm right in saying it was regarding Mayo University Hospital, the HSE and the local authority?
Yeah, and I'll come to them all briefly. In his recommendations, Mayo University Hospital and to the HSE Sale to Group, the coroner, Patrick O'Connor, said hospital guidelines about sepsis and early warning scores should be adhered to. Also, he said training should be given to all staff in the hospital on how to deal with patients who express a desire to self-discharge and patients at risk of absconding, with formal guidelines to report and record such risks and to ensure that these documents are included in patients' medical records. There were also recommendations about monitoring the length of time patients are on trolleys and their specific medical condition, as they may be cues for concern concern and for all information to be properly recorded and passed on between hospital teams, especially at handover times and critical pinch points like transfers between hospital departments and wards. The coroner also recommended that Mayo County Council examine a bridge in Castlebar where Patrick Rowland's slipper was found and to erect warning signs warning people about the volume of water and the depth of the fall at that point in the river, and to consider barriers to prevent a person being carried further downstream in the river outside the town, as Patrick Rowland's body, we heard, was found eventually 2 miles from where he had accidentally fallen into the water, Cormac.
You spoke, John, to the family of the late Patrick Rowland. How did they react to the verdict?
Well, Patrick Rowland's family described him as a much-loved father, husband and brother, a good citizen, a community man, a GAA man, as the coroner and the HSE's legal team, represented by Lewin O'Brien on senior counsel, offered their deep sympathies to the Rowland family. His son Cormac said, "His dad Patrick was a hero to me, as he told me about how difficult it is to pass the spot now where his dad called him that night and where he met his death, wondering if things could have been different."
It is very difficult. It is very difficult. Look, the tributaries of my own mind are filled with this every day. You know, you the nature of life, I suppose, is you play out what ifs, and I suppose I try to bring a degree of reason to the whole thing and try to be calm about it in when I got the original phone call, and maybe if I reacted a bit quicker, I could have got in there. But look, these are all things that happen. You're thrust into a fraught situation. And you have to react in real time. And I thought I was being, I suppose, logical, when maybe I should have panicked a small bit more, you know.
I'm sure you did everything you could, but the coroner made it clear that nothing could be done really where somebody wants to leave a hospital. It's not a prison. Your dad was free to go and he didn't want to be there. You don't accept that your dad was able to make that decision. You don't feel he was able, though the hospital rejected notions of his confusion or delirium.
Yeah, he wasn't compos mentis. He wasn't in the fullness of his mind.
Like, the hospital didn't accept that.
No, they did not accept that. But I know my father since the day I was born. When I went in that night, and I think, you know, everybody can see how fraught he was, how out of kilter he was on a human level. Security had sat with him for the previous hour. Why does that happen? I don't accept that.
It's a verdict of accidental death, and that is the ruling of the coroner. And I think maybe the only comfort you're getting out of the ruling, because some of your family look quite upset at that verdict, was that staff may get training to deal with people who are saying they want to leave hospital against medical advice. You'd like that to happen in Castlebar?
Yes, well, very much so. Like, their policy is reactive. You know, when somebody leaves the hospital, there's a number of steps to follow, where I suppose a lot of what we're saying is an absconsion policy needs to be proactive. If somebody is hitting markers or articulating that they want to leave, well, then that has to be a red light. And you have to be in a situation where that gets passed on from one part of the hospital to the other. So essentially the crux of all this is the lack of communication from one place to the next. And my father slipped through the cracks, and ultimately we have to bear that burden and carry that load.
That's Cormac Rowland, their son of the late Patrick Rowland, at the conclusion of his inquest. Is there further legal action likely in this case, John?
Well, Cormac, you heard that the family do not accept that Patrick Rowland was well enough to make decisions about leaving the hospital himself, and they were represented in court by Roger Murray of Calantansi Solicitors, who outlined the concerns they have to me about how information about Mr. Rowland's condition was communicated and passed on between staff on the night he left the hospital and before his tragic death. He said they welcomed the coroner's recommendations, but Mr. Murray said the Rowlands are now contemplating civil court proceedings against the HSE.
The family's position is, and this was established clearly through the evidence, is that key clinical and non-clinical information was not given to the staff on Ward B at handover when Patrick Rowland left the hospital on the night in question. It's the family's steadfast position that had that information been given, Patrick would not have left the hospital. In fact, the nurse who gave evidence during the inquest, which ran over several days, said that had the full picture been known to the staff at Ward B, certain safety netting would have been put into place, Patrick would have been accompanied, etc., and other mitigating factors put into place. The family's position is that had he been where they thought he was and where he was when Cormac left the hospital, that is, tucked up in bed with the hospital, with the side rails up on the bed, and that had the full facts been transmitted to the hospital staff on the night in question, Patrick never would have been next, nigh or near a river, and this calamity wouldn't have befallen him in those circumstances. So the family are pleased with the recommendations. They're clear, they're strong, and the family's view, necessary.
The recommendations are, and the key ones I know, are about training staff and how to deal with somebody who wants to leave the hospital. The family would contend that their dad, Patrick, wasn't in a position to make that decision for himself, and that wasn't part of the verdict here. The coroner stressing that it was up to him himself if he wanted to leave the hospital, and staff couldn't really do much about that. Is that something that you, as legal representatives for the Rowland family, will be challenging the HSC Mayo University Hospital and the sale of the group on in a different court?
The family are contemplating civil proceedings now against the HSC, civil proceedings in relation to the circumstances surrounding the death of Patrick. And as part of those proceedings, they'll be seeking to establish exactly what you've said. The coroner held, as a matter of fact, that it was Patrick's decision to leave the hospital. The family would say that the wider circumstances of how that decision was made, Patrick's condition on the night, and the decision making by the staff in allowing that are all matters which will be looked at in another forum.
And that's Roger Murray of Callan Tansey Solicitors, ending John Cook's report from Mayo Coroner's Court in Swinford.